We learned something interesting from the way that the children of Levi and their jobs are listed. Usually, when recounting the children of Levi, the oldest, Gershon, comes first, and then Kohath, and then Merari. However, we started the counting of the Shevet in last week's Parsha, Parshas Bamidbar, and we began with Kohath and his job. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Nasai, we continue with the counting of Gershon, and then of Merari. The reason is that Gershon was the Bechor, Gershon was the oldest, but Kohath had a more important job. Kohath carried the Aron. The Aron represents the Torah, the Aron that carried the Luchos, the Shnei Luchos, both the broken ones and the complete ones. And because Kohath has the job of carrying the Aron, he gets to be counted first. In our society, there is a hierarchy, and there are levels amongst the Jews. The king is rated higher than a Kohen Gadol, who is higher than a Navi, and the Navi is higher than the Mashuach Melchama, and there's a whole list of people who are lower than them. The Skan is higher than the head of a Mishmar, who is higher than the head of the family, who is higher than the Amarkal, who is a governor who reigned over the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, who is higher than the treasurer, who is higher than a Kohen, who is higher than a Levi, who is higher than a Yisrael, who is higher than a Mamzer, who is higher than an Eved, etc. We can go through the whole hierarchy. But a Talmud Chacham, even if he is a Mamzer, is considered higher than a Kohen Gadol, who is an Am Haaretz, which means that although there is a hierarchy according to birth, there's another type of hierarchy, and that goes according to level, spiritual level. And although we cannot change where we're born, and the privileges and the responsibilities of a Kohen are only going to go to the person who's born into a family of Kohanim, on the spiritual hierarchy, any person who invests himself in himself and becomes a great person, in that level, in that listing, he's going to be higher. And the Chida points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have easily set it up that it would be Gershon who carried the Aron. But had that happened, and then Gershon would have been listed first because he was the one who carried the Aron, we would not have learned this important message, this message that we need for all time. We would have assumed that Gershon was first because he was the oldest. So it had to be done in such a way that the Bechor, who does have certain inborn privileges, would not get to carry the Aron, so that, or this may not be the reason why Kohath gets to carry the Aron, but it's a lesson we can learn from the fact that Kohath gets to carry the Aron, and therefore is listed first to tell us that, yes, you can't move yourself to a different Shevet. And Lo Yasur Shevet Miyehuda means that the king is always going to come from Yehuda, and a Kohen is always going to come from Shevet Levi, from the children of Aron HaKohen. But in the spiritual level, we can move ourselves to anywhere. The Chasam Sofer points out something interesting in the wording. When it talks about Gershon, it says, Nasai es reish b'nei Gershon gam heim. You should also count the children of Gershon. Of course we should also count the children of Gershon. What does that word, those words gam heim, come to add? Oh, and also them. Of course we should count them. And then when it talks about the children of Merari, it says, B'nei Merari, the children of Merari, Mishpachaisam, Lebesavaisam, Tivkoidesam. Count them according to the houses, their father's houses, and according to their families. It doesn't say the words, Nasai es Reish, like it says about Gershon and like it says about Kohath. Nasai es Reish, Lebesavaisam. When you count them according to your father's house, the father's houses, with Merari, those words are left out. So again, we're questioning the extra words with B'nai Gershon. Count them also, and we're looking at the missing words with the children of Merari, where it doesn't say, count them according to their father's houses. The Nasai es Reish is missing. And the answer of the Chasam Sofer could give us great chizuk if we understand it properly. And he says the children of Levi were the children of Levi, and the jobs that they did were the jobs they did, and their children were the names of their children, but hidden in the names are messages for us. Kahas is symbolic of the time when we are all living peacefully and happily in our land. Kahas from the word kihila. We have peace. We have the Nevi'im telling us what to do. We have a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash. We have prosperity and joy. The children of Kahas continue to inform us about the time. Amram, or Amram, a high nation. Yitzhar, which is a shining jewel. Chevron, we are Mechubar, we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Uziel, strong with the protection of Hashem. Of course we should be counted, and we count at such a time. But Gershon, from the word Legarish, to be exiled, it's reflective of a time when we've been expelled from our land. We have no Beis HaMikdash, and we have no Karbanos. We are struggling to keep the mitzvahs. However, we do have to find a way to find forgiveness from our Averis, and this is seen in the names of the children of Gershon. They are Livni, meaning how do we become Lavan, how can we become white, and that is Shim'i, the Shema, to listen to our Chachamim. We are reassured that even in Galus, even with all the distance that we feel, we still have a way to be counted. Gam Heim, count them too. But what about Merari? This is a bitter time when we don't have much to hold on to. Our lives are bitter. The children of Merari are Machli from the word Choli. We have every illness. And Mushi, which means move. We have been thrown out from one country and moved on to another. And then we're thrown out of that country and moved on to another. We are desperate and we are wandering. And yet, in some ways, we are in a higher madrega in this stage than in any of the others. We are not counted the Beis HaVaisam, because according to the Chasam Sefer, we're so different than those who lived in a time of tranquility, in a time of clarity, in a time of, yes, having the Beis HaMikdash, that we can't even relate to them and they can't even relate to us. They served HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they didn't really have a reason not to. But those who live in the time of Merari and still serve Hashem, how much greater is our schar? A story is told of a bachur who was once on his way across Europe, and he was passing through Radin, and so he decided to stop off to see the Chofetz Chaim. He got there late at night until he found a place to stay, and by the time he finally got to bed and under his blanket, and he remembered that he forgot to daven Maariv, and he said, "I can't get out of bed, and davening in bed is not an option," and he was fighting back and forth what he should do, and despite himself, he fell asleep. The next morning, he totally forgot about the incident, and he went to the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him that once, when I was traveling by train during World War I, I sat down next to a person who sells produce, and I asked him, "How's business? It must be really hard during the time of war to sell fruits and vegetables." And the produce seller said, "No, it's so much easier during a war. Everyone, before the war started, people would come to buy my produce and they would look at the apple and they would say, 'Oh, this apple has some bruises on it. I don't want this apple.' Or this peach does not look so ripe, or it looks overripe. But now, during the time of war, anything I put out, people buy. Everyone is happy with whatever they can get. No one is really checking the quality. How much is a marav worth when there's hardly anyone davening at all?" asked the Chofetz Chaim to the bachur. The Reziner says on the Mamar Chazal, "Im Rishonim kemalachim, anu kebnei adam." If the Rishonim, meaning those who came before us, say the Tanaim and Amoraim, if they were like malachim, if they were like malachim, if they were like angels, we're just like people. But if we look at those people, those great people, Chazal, the Nevi'im before Chazal, and we treat them like people, our Avos and Imais, and we look at them as regular people, then we have to look at ourselves, Anu k'chamayr. We have to look at ourselves like donkeys, because if they were people, then we're donkeys. The only way we can look at ourselves as people is if we look at them as malachim, as angels. This is the literal way which we tend to look at this Chazal. But the Reziner gives it a novel explanation. And he says, in a generation where everyone is men and we stand up and daven, we're not so impressed, men daven. But when you see a herd of donkeys, and from amongst the donkeys someone gets up to daven, this is something amazing. And we don't ask the donkey if he's davening with kavana or if the davening is actually bringing him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are just shocked that a donkey is davening. The Rishiner says, and the Chofetz Chaim as well. It's an answer to a question that many of us have. If the generation of the Chofetz Chaim couldn't bring Mashiach, if the generation of the Chasam Sofer couldn't bring Mashiach, if the generation of the Rambam couldn't bring Mashiach, and if Rabbi Akiva couldn't bring Mashiach, how are we meant to bring Mashiach? But if we look at ourselves as being a donkey in a generation of donkeys, and yet continuing to do Torah and mitzvahs, continuing to hold on, continuing to say, although we live in a generation of merari, we're not giving up, and we're still holding tight, and we're coming from a beautiful Yantav of Shavuos where we were mekabel on ourselves again, the all of Torah and mitzvahs, and said, yes, I do want to belong to this nation is mine. And we daven marav at a time where no one is, or we're selling our apples when there's no apples to be had. It gives us tremendous chizuk, and it also obligates us to pay attention to the tremendous potential that each one of us has.